Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There was a time when our world, our Christian world, Christendom, the West, whatever you want to call it, when it looked at ailments as spiritual afflictions. They saw the work of the devil and his demonic horde in every form of darkness. They recognized the spiritual aspect to our physical well-being. They recognized that God, for a short time, allowed the devil to send his demons to afflict and to torment. And this often came across in physical ways. We see throughout the scriptures times when people are literally possessed by demons, and what those demons make those people possessed by them do. Running through fire, falling down, scratching themselves, trying to hurt themselves and others. We see sometimes the strength that accompanies that. But after a time, the Enlightenment came, and we decided that there were not demons under any of these things. We decided instead we could simply medicate everything. If we just gave you a certain amount of pills, then all the demonic afflictions must go away, right? I think we can see very clearly in our world today that that is not solving the issue. In our gospel lesson, Jesus heals a man who is deaf and mute. He cannot hear, and he cannot speak. Mark is not explicit on whether or not this is demonic, or if this is just a physical thing. But we know that it could be either of those, and realistically, I think we understand, or hopefully we do understand, that it's probably a combination of both. If you do not take proper care of your body, you will get disease. If you never exercise and only eat bad things for you, you will develop diseases. The same is true for your soul. If you never pray, if you never read the scriptures, if you never go to church, if you never remember your baptism, if you do not receive the life-giving blood of Christ through the sacraments, your soul will fade away. I think we need to get back to recognizing that there is body and soul. In this country, we have seen a demonic return to child sacrifice. Millions of babies have been sacrificed by their own mothers. Much like the demonic child sacrifices of the pagans of old, this has come back, but under a new name. Now it's not a temple, it's a clinic, or a pill that you take from home. It should come as no surprise, then, that in a culture where the devil has convinced, tragically, women who are hurting, women who are confused, women who need help, that the best way to help themselves is to take the lives of their own children, it is no surprise of the rallying that happened this last week over a woman who sadly took the lives of her children who had already been born. The life has been grafted by God. Women need help, just as there are many men who need help, mental, physical, and absolutely spiritual. To see the amount of people on the internet not sad about the loss of these beautiful lives, but raising money and championing around this is detestable. It's demonic. It's the spirit of our age. If you are going through depression or melancholy, if you are struggling with addictions, seek help. Pray first. The Lord ultimately is the helper. He will send the paraclete. He will send the helper. Find people to talk to. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, your pastor stands at the ready to provide you assistance, because when you hurt, the body of Christ hurts too. When you mourn, the body of Christ mourns too. So that when you rejoice, the body of Christ may rejoice too. Demonic affliction is very real. During the season that we are entering, and you know the season of Lent is very focused on spiritual affliction and spiritual warfare, but one of the things of Memento devotions that I've been reading as I've kept up with them is that the season of the church year between St. Mary, Mother of Our Lord, August 15th, and St. Michael and All Angels, September 29th, is another time when the church would focus on spiritual warfare. How to help the children of God through the afflictions that the devil, through the world, afflicts on us. Now, I know the last two Sundays I stood in this pulpit, I preached vehemently against Islam. I preached about the fact that that is a military arm of the devil, and we see it in growing numbers. You have heard from your friends that there are plenty of nice Muslims. Wonderful. They are allowed to lie to you until they have complete control. It's right in their holy book. Give consideration to how many Christians are put to death or their homes and churches destroyed throughout this world because they live in Muslim countries. I have some statistics for you from Lutheran Witness a few months ago. So this is conducted by Open Doors, and it released its 2026 World Watch List, which is an annual ranking of the 50 countries where Christians face the most extreme persecution. According to the numbers, 2 in 5 Christians are persecuted in Asia, where either 1, it's Muslim-controlled, or 2, socialist-controlled. 1 in 5 Christians are persecuted in Africa, and 1 in 7 Christians are persecuted worldwide. That's more than 10%. And I know for us as Christians in America, we don't see it as readily as you do everywhere else. But that's because our laws understood that Christ is King. Open Doors reports that in 2025, 4,849 Christians were martyred for their faith. Officially, over almost 5,000 people were killed simply for being Christians in this world. 93% of those deaths were in sub-Saharan Africa, where Islam reigns supreme. 224,000 Christians were forced to leave their homes due to violent persecution. Numbers for both Christian martyrdom and displacement of Christians were up from 2024. Christian persecution is on the rise. Our media does not portray it to us, and so too often we forget about it. The devil's real. Demons are real. Physical and spiritual affliction is real, but we have the one that can cure all of it. Jesus recognized that deaf man, that mute man, and he recognized that he needed his help. And so he breathes a sigh up to heaven. He spits on the ground, and he grabs that man's tongue, sticks his fingers in his ears, and he cries out in Aramaic, "Ephphatha," that is, "be open." My prayer for you, dear Christian, is that your ears are always open to the things of God. Your ears, your eyes take in so much, you are flooded daily with things that God does not have set for you. And the question is, what do you do afterward? God is the one that opens your ears to receive his word. And the Holy Spirit is poured out on you in that baptism, in that washing. Do not allow your ears to be stuffed with worldly demonic affliction. Rather, look to Christ. Isaiah prophesied, "Therefore, thus says the Lord who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, nor shall his face now grow pale, but when he sees his children, the work of my hands in his midst, they will hallow my name and hallow the Holy One of Jacob and fear the God of Israel, that these also who erred in spirit will come to understanding, and those who complained will learn doctrine." There was a time when our culture was Christian, when Christendom was all around us. But that divorce is either already happened or in the tail end of happening, and the persecution is ramping up. I pray for your sake, for my sake, for our children's sake, that they will not have to endure the persecution that Christian children and adults endure throughout the world. That is my prayer. But we need to repent. We need to return. We need to let the word of God pour out on us. We need to be doing good works. Not because it's our works that save us. No, we are saved by faith alone. But to paraphrase our memento devotion just a couple days ago, which was a paraphrase of Luther, you are saved by faith alone, but faith never comes alone. When you have an active living faith, good works pour out of you because they're God's works. The way you are to your spouse, the way you are to your children, the way you are to the people that you work with day in and day out, the way you are with your pastor, the way you are with your brothers and sisters in Christ, needs to show Jesus. As a member of your community, this community and the communities that you have drove in from need to see Jesus in you. If you spend 40 years working with someone, and they know your favorite sports ball team, they know that you can recite whatever stat from whatever year your team won the Super Bowl or the World Series or the Stanley Cup or whatever it is that they do in the NBA. Yeah, it's still not coming to me. Whatever that is, if those are things that you can recite and they know that those matter to you, and if they were to read in your obituary that you were a lifelong active member of St. Peter's Evangelical Lutheran Church and they were surprised by that, then you are not living your life for Christ. Your ears, dear church, are opened. You are actively listening to the Word of God today. Do not let the devil snuff that out when you leave these walls. Listen to his word, read his word, pray daily. Keep it up. Come to church just as you have today, every Sunday. Come on Wednesdays to be rebuilt up in the middle of the week when the dredges of this fallen world become too much. Hallow the Holy One of Jacob. Fear the God of Israel, that is the descendants of Abraham that we are by faith. Those who have erred in the Spirit will be taught doctrine. Yes, we got to live with a foot in the culture, a foot in the church. Your children were able, or maybe your grandchildren were able, to live this life by just going to confirmation classes for 2 years, 1 hour a week, and somehow still end up Christian. This world today is not going to build them up in the faith. This culture today is not going to build them up in the faith. And we need to stop sending them into the fiery furnace without Jesus. The day has come to reclaim the church for Christ, to reclaim our community for Christ if he wills. The day has come to be open to the things of God and reject the lies of the devil. This is the day to celebrate life, to encourage life, to promote life, to assist in life. Both the baby and the mother, and the father, the grandparents as well. You are the church. You are the very bride of Christ. You are a part of the body of Christ. You are to be his hands and to be his feet. God has given us his law. And too often we as Christians say, I've not worshiped other gods. I've never gone and worshiped in a Buddhist temple. I've never gone into any sort of temple that isn't a Christian place of worship. Therefore, I have fulfilled the first commandment. The letter? But has it been the spirit of the law? If your heart finds its rest in the things that are not Jesus Christ, you worship a false god. Lord, I have never used the name of Jesus Christ flippantly like all of my friends and co-workers do. But have you kept his name holy? Have you worshiped him alone? Have you not lied by his name? Oh, I swear to God, you might say, speak truthfully. You shall sanctify the holy day or remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I've kept the letter of the law. I make sure to find the time to rest. But am I hearing the sermon with joy? Am I looking at with joy that it's time to do my devotions? Or do I only do it begrudgingly? Do I rejoice to go to Bible study? Or do I only do it begrudgingly? Do I give proper honor to my parents and other authorities? Do I uphold life? Do I uphold the marriage bed in thought, word, and deed? Am I content with what God has given me? Or do I lie and gossip and speak all sorts of untruths about others? God has given us his spirit to eschew the nasty spirits that are in existence all around us. So take heart, for what is passing away is glorious, but what remains is much more glorious. You, as Christians, have eternity to look forward to, and you have life to look forward to. Our Lord has already transformed our lives here and now to his glory. Now we don't do things just to be seen by others. We do things to give glory to God, and we see how beautiful that truly is. Sure, they might make lies about you, but stand firm. Stand on the word of God. Do the right thing. Your Father who sees in secret will reward in secret, especially in the end of days. So, dear Christian, once again today, I encourage you to stand. Stand even if the persecution comes. Stand even if they mock you for it. Stand firm in the word of God. Endure this life. And if martyrdom comes just as it does for thousands of Christians every single year, stand firm in Christ and wake up in his glory. The church sings. As a father never turneth wholly from a wayward child, for the prodigal still yearneth, longing to be reconciled. So my many sins and errors find a tender pardoning God, chastening frailty with his rod, not in vengeance with his terrors. All things else have but their day. God's great love abides for aye. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.